When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
In our studio is Ray Kaplan. Ray, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
You're the principal at Kaplan Law.
Correct.
You specialize in what?
Student loan law and private debt solutions, settlements, and bankruptcy law as well.
I'm going to reach over here because we had some conversation before you came into the studio, and a lot of listeners were commenting to us about student loan debt. The USA Today had a story that said that millennials 18 to 29 now have $1 trillion in debt. $1 trillion in that small group, 18 to 29-year-olds.
$1 trillion,
and almost all of it is student loan debt.
Right.
And that in 2015, 70%, and I presume those are the numbers most recently that they have, they said in 2017, tell me if this sounds true, no, 2015, 70% of those graduating from college, private or public, had student loan debt. 70% did.
And that's absolutely correct.
And that the average debt they carried was $30,000. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right, although what I see is generally higher than $30,000.
People that will come to you because they need to restructure or find a way to pay down debt they can't.
Exactly.
Give me an example of somebody that comes to you.
Well, we have students who usually are carrying anywhere between $50,000 and $80,000 in federal loans and then usually another $20,000 or $30,000 in private loans. And we generally can really get those federal loan payments down substantially. There are such good options out there that people just don't know about. And I don't know if the servicers are just not informing them on purpose, but
well, wait
don't
a minute.
Know
why would the servicer, the person that loaned them the money, tell them how they can pay less?
Exactly.
They want to get all the money, right?
Right. Their objective is to get paid as quickly as possible, to get the federal loans paid off as quickly as possible. But under the statute, they really are entitled to pay 10 to 15% of their gross disposable earnings, which usually works out to a much, much lower payment.
Is that for everybody or just people who have federal loans?
For federal loans.
So do you recommend people borrowing money for college start with a federal loan?
Absolutely. I tell all my clients that with kids, when it comes to time for their children to borrow, to try to stick as much as possible to federal loans and not private.
Is anybody eligible for federal loans, or if you make too much money, are you not?
Well, there is. That's interesting. There is a way to fill out that FAFSA form to make sure that you get the maximum amount that you're entitled to, because if the Department of Ed sees that the contribution from your family is above a certain number, then you qualify for less. So there's a way to fill that form out to make sure that you get the maximum amount. And the reason you want to do that is because there's so much flexibility in the statute and how to repay those loans. We have clients who are paying 50% of the balance and then getting the rest forgiven, plus all the interest.
Go back a step. 10%? Of your income, what was that formula?
The formula usually for an income-driven plan would be 10 to 15% of your gross disposable earnings. That's supposed to be your monthly payment. So again, that's 10 to 15% of your gross disposable earnings.
After?
Well, it's a calculation that they use that's based
mortgage,
on...
mortgage, car payment?
No, they don't take that into consideration. It's just a family of your size in the state in which you reside, and they take your gross earnings, and then they use a particular calculation to come up with that number. But it really is generally a very comfortable payment.
So that means, because a lot of people, that number would be about what they owe on their student loan. But you're saying no, but then you would only pay 10% of that on your student loan.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then is that the setup where if you make that loan payment consistently, eventually it's forgiven?
Exactly. Right. And that's whether you're in the public sector or private sector. So if you work in the private sector, you're still going to likely get forgiveness of a good chunk of your loan. It's just that you have to pay in longer, but they set it up so that if you work in the public sector, so any 501c3 or not-for-profit, you only have to pay in for 120 months.
Nobody needs to hear me fulminating again about how I just think it's wrong that college costs that much and that families find themselves in these positions. I will die feeling that, and hopefully not soon. But there they are. Is there any news on this front, by the way?
Well, there is something especially I thought would be interested for Illinois listeners. If you know anybody who went to a Corinthian College or Illinois Design Technology Institute.
Everest.
These
are private schools, trade
these
schools?
These are private schools and trade schools where a lot of people got federal loans. And under a section of the statute called the Borrower Defense to Repayment, because some of those schools violated Illinois law and other statutes, we can get the entire balance of the loan forgiven. Provided that so they have to meet certain requirements, but in many cases, the entire balance is forgiven. So on one section of the statute, if you don't have the ability to benefit from the degree that you got because either the school closed down or the program you were in shut down or your credits were non-transferable, then many times the Department of Education will completely wipe out that loan balance. So, for example, we have one right now where we were able to wipe out $45,000 for federal loans on that basis.
Ray Kaplan's in our studio from Kaplan Law. The other story I saw today, again, I think it was USA Today, and it was a story where they just told the they said, here's an example. A woman graduated with $85,000 in debt. She was making $45,000 a year. And there was a firm online that she found that they said, if you pay us $50 a month, we will, for a few years, we'll lower the payment and reduce the debt. But it sounds like that's something I don't have to hire somebody to do, that I could do on my own. Or do you know much about that?
I don't know much about that. Are you talking about she had federal loans or private?
I don't know.
Okay. It doesn't sound familiar at all for federal loans. Or federal loans, the nice thing about them is that everything is delineated in the statute that governs federal loans. With private loans, it's a little bit more of a sticky situation because you're governed by the contract.
How do most people borrow money for college? Do they go federal loans or are they borrowing from private institutions?
Most of the people that I see borrow federal funding, federal loans, but we do see occasionally people with private loans, and that's usually because they incorrectly filled out the FAFSA form, and so then they're stuck, or their school kind of herds them towards a private lender, and then that's a more difficult situation. But even then, we can usually work out a deal where they pay 50% of the balance in a structured settlement. So even that's not a lost cause.
When people do any of these things, are they declaring bankruptcy?
No. No, these are all non-bankruptcy solutions. So this is just a student loan law area.
Does bankruptcy forgive student debt?
In most cases, no. Although we did recently have a particular case where we were able to get rid of a lot of medical school private loans because under the statute, the loans have to be considered educational loans. But if you didn't use that money for educational purposes, let's say you got a loan from Navient or some lender, and then you use the money for a vacation or to buy a car, something non-tuition related, we actually were able to get those loans discharged in a bankruptcy. Yeah. So occasionally they are.
Yeah. When we're talking about, let's do this. It's 2:15 on WGN. Normally when you come in, we get a lot of calls and texts. If you've got a question or comment or an observation about all of this, maybe Ray can help. I'm thoroughly dismayed when this topic comes up, and I'm always encouraged by the service that you're able to render. So 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Ray Kaplan is in our studio, and if you've got a question or comment, this is the time to call. We're talking about student loan debt. The story in the USA Today, today said that the student loan debt now for those 19 to 28 years old, that subset of millennials, is $1 trillion. $1 trillion in credit debt, almost all of it student loan debt. And that the average student graduating from college, that is 70% of the people that leave college, have student debt. And the average student debt that they carry is $30,000 a year. Ray Kaplan deals with these kinds of cases for a living. What's the website for you guys, by the way?
It's www.financialrelief.com.
You don't have to say the WWW part. People know that, right?
Yeah, you're right.
It's 2019.
Right. I'm just old school.
It's just financialrelief.com. Literally, have you ever done this? If you go to a browser and don't type the W's, it knows.
I know, but in my brain, the W's are there. So,
what are you, an attorney?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very precise.
John, so the texts include these. John, it's too easy to get money to go to college. 224 says student loans is the new slavery. Well, I hope you didn't pay a lot for that student loan because your grammar's bad. But that's me being mean because I think student loans are out of hand. John, why don't we make schools provide a statement of total cost, like credit cards and bank loans have to, that would say this is what you will pay if you graduate from this university?
They actually do that.
Do now. They?
Mm-hmm, they do. They do kind of an entrance counseling and then an exit counseling for student loans, and they do go over all of that stuff. I think that really it's just pretty dry material, and it's the last thing people are really interested in.
630, John, make universities co-sign on these loans so they have some skin in the game regarding offering marketable degrees. Maybe have them cover loan payments until they find the art history student a job. Well, that's a good idea, but that ain't never going to happen,
is it? Never going to happen.
Never going to happen. John, my son owes $82,000 for a business degree, 3 years at Northern Illinois University, 1 year at NAU. Makes me sick to think about it. What do you say to that person?
Well, what I say is that if they're federal loans, not to lose too much sleep over it, because in most cases, your payment is going to be the equivalent of a cell phone bill payment every month. In most cases, I do have some clients, you know, who are doctors and their payments are a little bit higher. But in most cases, we can get the payments under the statute to be very, very manageable. And most of it's going to be forgiven anyway. So not to lose too much sleep. I think people tend to get a little bit too depressed about this. And when they realize that they actually have some clarity and control over the situation, you feel a lot better.
I'm glad to hear that, Ray. But there's people out there that are making car payment size student loan payments every month.
Right.
And not everybody has this relief available to them, do they?
Yes, pretty much everybody.
Really?
Yes.
You think that all of the people that are making gigantic $350 a month payments on $75,000 student loans are overpaying?
Well, maybe not at $350 a month.
I don't know. What are the numbers? I mean, I'm just throwing those out.
Most of the time we see clients who come in, they have payments around $500, $600, $800 a month, and usually we can get those payments down to $200 or $300 a month.
Really?
Which makes a big difference. Oh, yeah.
Okay, Elif says all the phone lines are busy. Huh, seems like we've struck a nerve. Let's take some phone calls,
sure.
She says. Okay, so we'll start with John. John, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for calling. What can we do for you, John? You're on the air.
Well, I just wanted to ask, how long does a judgment live? A judgment that's filed against you, how many years does it take for that to go away, and how long can they collect on it?
I believe in Illinois it's 7 years. If I'm not mistaken, are you talking about a private loan lender or a federal? Because
yes.
A private lender.
Yes.
Yeah, and then there are certain things that can be done for them to revive the judgment. But in general, that's as long as they have to collect on it.
Okay, so if you get a collection notice after that, do you have to pay it, or what do you have to do?
You know, it really depends. It depends on whether or not they violated the statute of frauds or the statute of limitations. But you probably should contact an attorney that deals with debt collection so they can see whether or not you have a defense. And so you might not have to repay it at all. Another thing is that they may have violated the FDCPA or some other statute that would make that debt not collectible.
John, good luck to you. I'm going to go from you now to Harvey. You're on WGN. Harvey, how can we help you? You're on the air.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. Talk to me, man. What's up?
Okay. My son graduated from law school many years ago, and he had about $100,000 in student loans. Some were federal and some were private. He's paid about 17, 18 years. Would any of them be eligible for getting discharged?
For getting discharged in a bankruptcy, or you're talking about maybe getting forgiven under the federal statute?
Forgiveness. Right.
Yes, most likely. Does he still have, you said he still owes about $80,000 or so?
No, he owes probably about 50.
Around $50,000. Yes. So we would want to take a look and see what kind of payment plan he's eligible for under the statute, and it's likely that he would get his payment lowered and the balance forgiven. So I understand he's already paid a lot in, and there's not much we can do about that. But in terms of what we can do about the $50,000 now, he probably has some really good options.
He's paying about $700 a month or $600 a month.
And he's been doing that for 17 years?
Yes.
Yeah, we likely could get that payment down.
Good luck to you, my friend. Thanks, Harvey.
Thank you.
Yeah. Financialrelief.com?
Yes.
Somebody just said, what does your guest charge to review a person's student loan options?
Our student loan consultation fee is $100. And it's, I really do think it's worth it. I realize I have an incentive to say that, but it's not even an hourly rate. It's, we cover everything really thoroughly and give you all your options. So,
Dana, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Oh, my God. Okay, my son has $250,000 in loans from pharmacy school.
Oof. That's...
So he pays like a not a car payment, a mortgage payment every month, $2,300 a month. And he's been paying for 2 years, and the principal hasn't even moved.
That's right. And those are federal loans?
Yes.
I'm sure we can get that payment down for him because I'm sure his income is good, but that sounds like it's a lot more than 10 to 15% of his gross disposable earnings. And then his payment would be decreased even if he has children or any other dependents. And I think that sounds like one of those cases where we could get the payment down by 50%.
Can you ballpark me his income? Do you know generally how much he earns, Dana?
$120,000.
Right. So, I mean, we're talking 10 to 15% of his gross disposable earnings. So likely we could get his payment down 50% or more. Maybe his payment should be right around $800 or $900 a month or so.
Instead of $2,300.
Right.
And then as the parents, like, we had to take out a lot also because when you're in undergrad, they don't give the kids that much, so we had to take it all out. So I have about $150,000 from two kids, you know?
Well, all of the same payment plans under the statute also apply to you and people with Parent Plus loans. Yours is a little bit higher if you have Parent Plus loans, and that'll be a 20% of your gross disposable earnings, but still, it's still going to be a very low payment. The main thing is to make sure that you're in the right payment plan.
So your family's $400,000 on the line for college educations. Is that right, Dana?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Good luck to you, Dana. I really appreciate your call, and I wish you the best. My heart breaks for some of these people. Mary Ann, you're on WGN. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi, John. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. What can I do for you?
I, too, have a boatload of Parent Plus loans. And I'm wondering, after paying for so many years, I originally started out with about $128,000, and I'm now at $65,000. And my monthly payment is still killing me at $678.
Do you know?
I tried to renegotiate with the Department of Education, and my husband is very soon going. They did a consolidation on a number of the loans, and it consolidated out to like 8% interest. So my payment went from $1,100 to $678.
Okay.
And I am retired, and my husband is on the edge of retiring.
What's your annual income? What's your annual income?
It's about $75,000 now with just him.
Hold on. What do you have to say?
Do you also have an income?
Just Social Security and a small pension.
So here's the thing. You actually are eligible for $0 monthly repayment.
Huh?
Yes. Because your Social Security and retirement income are not the type of income that, as per the statute, that you're required to have them base the payment on. So because that's your income, now you don't want them to take into consideration your husband's income, and there's a way to apply for that too, where they only take into consideration your income. Your income is Social Security, which means that you likely are eligible for a $0 monthly repayment until the balance is forgiven. And that's exactly the type of thing that people don't know about, John. That's actually very interesting. It's right there in the statute.
I know, and this ticks me off too. I don't know why I keep inviting you back, because I get agitated at the world. I mean, if that's the statute, that means that our lawmakers have decided that this is a remedy that you should be able to have. But if you don't know it or how to do it, or it's too complicated, or they don't pick up the phone, then I think then they might as well not have written the law.
Exactly.
Okay. I've got to go, but did you get the website on that? Do you know who to...
Yes. I'm going to go look, and then I'm going to give them a call and figure this out, because it's really high.
It is.
Absolutely.
Good luck to you, Marianne. Thanks for the phone call. Ray, we're out of time.
Okay.
So financialrelief.com?
Yes.
Wait, I know your phone number. Wait, do I? Because I created a mnemonic device to remember Ray Kaplan's
phone number.
Oh, come on, Steve.
I'm just amazed. You just saved that woman. That was like a magic trick right there.
Oh, my God. How about the lady with the $250,000 in debt? Okay, but now what Ray's phone number? I need to think of Dick Butkus driving a car around the metro. Because if he were doing that, he'd be on the Tri-State Tollway, and that's 294.
Right.
And his number was 51. So was his number 51?
Ditka is who you're thinking of.
Yeah, Mike Ditka.
89.
Oh, 89. 89.
Butkus was 51.
Yeah, oh, but okay. Ditka. Oh, I got the wrong football player.
Right.
Okay, so if I think of... Who's driving around town? Butkus or Ditka?
Ditka
is driving around town. Then I think 294, and it's 89-89 behind the wheel. 294, 89-89. But now I got to remember is it 888 or 708 or
312.
312. Oh, in Chicago. That's
exactly.
Right. He's in Chicago. No, he's 312. 294-89-89. Thank you, Ray Kaplan, financialrelief.com. Come
Thank
back
you.
Again, and let's help more people
out. I would love to.